Welcome. This week, India lost a bright young mind, a young, smart student on scholarship. 19-year-old Lashwarya had been a school topper in her native town of Shadnagar in Telangana. She had scored 98.5% in class 12. She was the pride of her family. She was aiming to sit for the civil services and dreamed of becoming an IAS officer. A family is grieving tonight after their daughter, 19-year-old Lashwarya, died by suicide. The second-year college student at Delhi's prestigious Lady Shriram College left a suicide note calling herself a burden on her family since she wanted to study and her family could not afford even a laptop for online classes, a fallout of the pandemic, a requirement in our education system in a post-pandemic world. Her father worked as a mechanic. He had mortgaged their home to provide her education. She came back home after the lockdown was announced and started taking online classes. She asked for a laptop, which her father said he would try for. She never asked him again. And last Tuesday, when the family was gathered in their living room, Lashwarya went to the only other room in the house and killed herself. Is the digital divide a curse on the Indian education system, only highlighting and cementing the inequality that exists in our country? And why are we not outraged enough about it? When will we wake up to this? It has been 8 months into the pandemic and the nationwide lockdown. And Lashwarya is not an exception. Her story of a struggle to continue with one's higher education is echoing across the country. Across India, the digital divide is destroying dreams, hopes, and the aspirations of a better future for young Indians. Two of them join us now. We have Syada Rizvi and Sukhram Chaudhary, both of whom see shadows of themselves in Lashwarya. Syada, first, you're a student. You have chosen to go in for open learning. What's your experience been like with online classes? What's your story?
Hello, ma'am. My story is not that much good because I have to study in a regular college, but my marks are also good. But due to that pandemic also and not the financial support, I am not able to join my regular college. And after that, I just have the option of SOL from which I have to take studies all through SOL only. And in that, I am from English medium, where I ask my teacher that please teach in English. Then he told me that there is no English medium class. If you want to English medium class, so you have to call an authority or ask from authority that you want English medium class. So most of the majority are in of Hindi medium, but I am of English medium. So I face lots of difficulties to understand the syllabus because from class 1st to 12th, I just study in English medium. But that's why I'm not able to get in Hindi. So I face that much very difficulty. And after that, due to this pandemic, when there is online platform, I have two siblings more. On that same time, I have to take the class. But due to the lack of phone, I have only my father's phone, from which I have to take the class. But due to only one phone, my sister or my brother have to take the class. So day by day, either my brother take or either my sister take the class or either I'll take the class.
Wait a minute. So you have two other siblings and you all alternate. So one day, one of your siblings take the class. So what do you do on that day?
So I just keep on studying with my books only. Or after that, I'm not be able to get what teacher taught in that class.
So you're not able to catch up because you've missed 2 days because you have two other siblings.
Yes, ma'am.
And all of you are using your father's phone. So what does your father do? How does he get by at his work without a phone?
He has one little phone with him. It's not
a smartphone.
Yes. So I have to just, when he is at home, I have to take his phone only when I have to take an online class. But when he is not there, then I face the very much difficulty that father is also not there and my class time is also going on, then how I can manage. So this is very, very much, I have to face this difficulty that how I take my class, the syllabus is going on, and I'm not able to take my class.
So, Sayada, I just want to ask, are your professors at all aware of this? That, you know, there are students like you who show up for one day, they're absent for 2 days, and they show up again the third day?
No, ma'am, I don't even have their number. I asked them to give their number, but they have not given me right now because of mine is English medium. So they taught in Hindi, so I am...
But they are not aware. So you, according to you, you don't think they are aware that there are students like you who have problems accessing these classes because of the digital divide.
They have to aware about this problem because not me, many more people and many more students like me facing this problem again and again. But due to lack of phone, online platform is good, but every student don't have phone to get their online classes. The same problem I am also facing.
Absolutely. And houses like yours with more than one child, how are they supposed to provide one laptop, one phone per child? Thank you for sharing your story. Like you said, you're not alone. This pandemic has led to the ugly divisions of class, caste, gender, geography, all of it rearing its ugly head. The new education system in India is more accessible to those financially better off, clearly. And there does not seem to be a support structure in place for those who aren't. Let's go across to Shruti, MD. She's also a student. She now joins us. Shruti, you are also a student on scholarship, but you say you aren't getting your scholarship. What's going on?
So I'm a research student. I'm in my fourth year of PhD at Ambedkar University. It's a Delhi State University. So initially when we joined, they said, oh, for the entire period of your PhD, you will get your stipend. We ensured that, you know, that this was the criteria because none of us can really do a full-time PhD if you're not going to be given a stipend. But suddenly, all of a sudden, after the third year ended, so that ended with the previous semester, our stipend suddenly stopped. So with the month of September, we have not been getting our stipend since September. And when we asked the administration, they just washed off their hands saying that, well, too bad. So I can completely understand what Aishwarya, the LSR student who killed herself, who was forced to take her own life, went through, because at one point it started becoming a burden to our family. Because people who are privileged and who are well off, they don't require this particular amount because the family is able to provide for them. But for students who don't come from such families, who completely rely on this money, when we become a burden to our families, I understand that these are the loved ones. These are our family members. Mm. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to be a burden on them. We think that maybe our family is better off without us, because Aishwarya, she had a younger sister who had to discontinue her education so that Aishwarya could study. And there was a particular kind of path that she was taking, right? She was promised that she would be given a stipend so she could sustain herself.
And
but then what happened
since
March?
Why she chose Lady Shri Ram College in Delhi, far away from her hometown. Yes. On the assumption that she would get these funds, not out of charity, because she deserved it. She got 98.5%.
Yes,
she earned
student.
It.
Yes.
So, but
she completely earned it.
Shruti, we're glad you're joining us because you speak for all of those PhD students, right? Those who were on the verge of completing their doctoral research. These PhD students, supposed to be the cream of our, you know, scientific establishment, years of dedicated, consistent hard work, now finding the opportunities have all disappeared because of research funding in many places. Funds are drying up. But I want you to, again, repeat what I think I heard you say, that you have taken this up with the administration. And the administration says that it's too bad, they can't help it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So, yeah, what I'm saying is exactly that. Because what happened is with the pandemic, the government, I mean, all governments all over the world, they are pricing health and, expenditure on hospitals, which is the right thing to be doing. But if our bread and butter is going to be hurt, I mean, we're going to either die of lack of food and due to hunger or of COVID. So these are bread and butter issues the government has to give us. So the Delhi government basically has not provided the budget for Delhi state institutions. So Ambedkar University also falls under the Delhi state, as a state university. So the government has not provided the yearly budget. So administration is saying, well, we haven't received our budget, so we can't give you your budget. And as promised, we cannot continue with your stipend. So the student council actually has been demanding for a concession of fees, saying that the students are not being able to pay the fees because the fee is as high as a private university and the students are not able to provide. And the university has said that we cannot at any cost reduce the fees, though the students are not using any of the infrastructures in the campus. We're not using classrooms, we're not using campus library, nothing in the campus is being used, still the fees is the same. So basically what I'm trying to say is that the government has completely, shut their eyes to the concerns of students, and they are not priority.
All right.
So
all right.
That's really why the, yeah.
Okay. So let's try and put that across to Mr. Sukhdev Thorat. He has been the former chairman of the University Grants Commission. Mr. Thorat, two separate questions, but first I want to focus on, the issue thrown up by Aishwarya killing herself. Her scholarship, just got lost somewhere in the Indian bureaucracy in red tape. The Students' Federation of India is blaming the government for the delay in releasing funds. Mr. Thorat, ye kaise ho sakta hai? Ki matlab funds bas ghum jate hain beech mein bureaucracy or red tape mein?
Well, you are very right. You know, the problem of scholarship and fellowship has been there. The irregular release of the first fellowship and scholarship by the various government, for that matter. For example, the postgraduate scholarship for the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe by the Ministry of Welfare, which has been there from 1945.
No, the so you're saying this doesn't have to do with the pandemic.
No, it doesn't have to do with the pandemic.
So
pandemic
this is systemic, might
have,
you're saying?
Pandemic might have added to it, but I am giving you the example of post-matric scholarship. I am giving Rajiv Gandhi fellowship. I am giving a minority fellowship for the minority student by the Ministry of Minorities. The administration has been very insensitive, and they have not been able to resolve the issues. See, scholarship are maintenance grant. The student need them on a monthly basis to consume food and to pay for their regular expenses. But the problem has been continuously there, I think, and nothing much has been done. The scholarship get after every 6 months or after even 1 month. I don't want to name the state, but the problem has been there. So this is an additional factor that has come into play because of the pandemic. But I think the government should have given a priority to release of the fund for the student scholarship and fellowship. These are equally important areas.
But the other question raised by the student over here, this PhD student, she says like the UGC, other agencies have failed to provide scholarships. They are citing the pandemic as the excuse for this, right? But as she points out, schools and colleges are running, they're working, and they're asking for payments. They're not saying that these salary or payments, school fees can be paid retrospectively.
If it is not released by the Ministry of Education or concerned ministry, it means that the government has not allocated necessary fund. So beside the inefficiency and irregularity, the non-allocation of the fund for the scholarship is one of the reasons, I understand. The second issue that you have mentioned is about the very, very serious issue of suicide because of the girl has been asked to go to vacate the hostel and go back to the home. I must share with you, this is a very, very serious issue. There was a huge debate before the University Grant Commission took a decision for an online examination and offline examination. There was a view that please consider the marks of the earlier semester and the year, work out the average and promote them and award the degrees. A chance can be given to improve it. But
correct.
by no stretch of imagination, that the large majority of all the students who are staying in villages, small town, migrating along in the migrant labor will be able to take exam. And that is what precisely has happened. We are taking an exam which is hardly examination, reducing from 100 to 50%. So it is the stubborn nature of the government, basically. Very, very stubborn nature of the government, not realizing that it will affect a large majority of the people. Some of us, we have provided the national sample survey data of the internet connectivity in the villages and the small town. But
correct.
The government won't listen because elite student, they can manage.
Yes.
So if you want to serve the elite student, you do serve. But this is a one case that Lady Sri Ram College that has come up. But there are a number of other cases which are reported in the newspaper of suicide by the girls and the boys.
Absolutely.
So I think it is a policy issue and policy failure and stubbornness of the government which has imposed on students. There was a large majority of the students who were saying that.
So the government, you're saying this, the fault lies at the government. They are not releasing the funds, even though this is not the first time we're seeing a student that has killed herself, her or himself. No worries about whether a chunk of our students may simply drop out because of the digital divide. This could end in a tragedy, like we've seen. This lack of access in this case has ended a bright young life that was full of hopes, full of dreams. And somebody who could contribute to India, to the Indian economy. Unnimaya joins us now. She's the General Secretary of ELISA, of the ELISA's student union. You also were a friend of Aishwarya's, so we're sorry for your personal loss. But in the larger picture, as we talk about this digital divide, there seems to be an assumption that all students will have access to a phone and a laptop. I don't remember having a phone in college. Certainly, I know it was years ago. But this just seems to be the blanket assumption.
Rightly pointed out. See, like the previous speaker said, it's a policy decision by the government. They are not releasing funds. They're not giving, making any plans for the student body to how to go about when there is a pandemic or when there is some kind of issues going on. It's rightly pointed out that the issue of pandemic is an excuse. The administration, the DU administration and the Indian government has been again and again giving us this excuse of pandemic. We couldn't prepare and everything. But we've seen there are some states in India itself who have been prepared, who have distributed TVs, who have distributed phones to their students. So it can be done. And it's just an excuse that the Indian government or the university administration is making that we are not prepared or anything. It just means they want to exclude and they do not care about the students from the marginalized communities. And it's rightly pointed out, even in LSR, the Students' Union conducted a survey wherein we asked a different set of questions, like, what is your annual income? Will you be able to... do you have a laptop? Do you have a proper phone? And the results were we were shocked to see the results. A lot of students said they do not have a laptop. They are not able to attend practical sessions. So even the administration is not even taking their responsibility to conduct a survey and understand how many students are losing out on these classes. The administration is like evading from their responsibility of doing it.
All right. I want to bring in Srijan Pal Singh here. He's the CEO of the Kalam Center. He's a gold medalist from IIM Ahmedabad, an educationist. Mr. Singh, you've been giving facilities to village students who don't have a mobile laptop, etc. You're arranging for teachers to teach there. What is the magnitude of this problem? Because when we look at this, how we've seamlessly, often you hear of how we've seamlessly moved education from classroom education to online education, and we talk about how it flattens the globe, and you know, Indian students can now attend free classes at Harvard University online. We seem to be missing all those students who are falling through the crack. How large is it, really, that big a problem? Or is the government, does the government know something that we don't?
Well, let's put some data into perspective to clarify this problem. Well, the last year's data says that only about 8% of Indian families who have a young person have an access to a computer and an internet. That's 8%. So 92 out of 100 children are actually out of the loop if you want a computer. 15% of India's rural India has any access to internet. 24% of India has smartphones. And only, even in urban areas, only about 42% have consistent access to an internet connection, which is good enough to run an online class. That's the magnitude of the problem. And it varies across state. It varies across genders, because the girl child is obviously the one which is going to be left behind. States like Bihar have less than 4% of families having a computer and an internet. So that's the magnitude of the problem which you're dealing, Sarah. And Sarah, the other thing I want to point out, the problem is far beyond just a digital divide. Because, you see, we already had this divide. The financial divide already existed. You had a bulk of children who used to go to government schools. Where we anyways had a quality issue, we'll not get into that. Now, that wasn't the supply side issue. Now, in the demand side issue, where the students are consuming, they've created a new financial divide, where depending on the type of device you have, whether kind of connection you have, half of India does not get in power for more than 12 hours. So depending on what kind of power you have, electrical power, you would be given the quality of education in that level. So the quality suffers more. And remember one thing which everybody seems to miss out is that India runs about 1 million Anganwadi centers. India runs about 1.5 million schools. Each one of them serves meals. They used to give nutritious meals to the most deprived segments of India. That's not happening. So it's not only an educational challenge, it's a health challenge. It's a social challenge because children do not learn just by digital screens. They learn by emulating and finding the right heroes, which happen in the classrooms. And, you know, 1.5 months or so ago, I was there on your channel and we talked about how the government was showing urgency to conduct the NEET exam and the JEE exam because they didn't want, education to hamper or suffer for any reason. But why is that urgency missing when we are talking about finding a strategy for reopening colleges with the right infrastructure to reopen the school? The whole world is talking about it. Countries like Sweden, countries like Taiwan, countries like Nicaragua even, they did not even shut down the schools throughout the pandemic because they said one thing, we can let the pandemic affect our present, that's happening. But can we also let the pandemic affect our future? Can we let Aishwaryas happen? And I salute the spirit of the girls which you brought here, Sayada and Shruti, for standing up for this, this very difficult time. And I know I've been a student, I've been a teacher. It's very difficult to do what you're doing. So hats off to you and hats off to your courage.
Absolutely, you're right. And, you know, since we have Sayada and Shruti here, I want to ask you, Srijanpal Singh, as you work in your field trying to provide laptops, phones to deserving students, do you see a gender difference or gender gap or disproportionate number of girl students who take the harder hit when it comes to parents having to decide who to pick between their kids on who to provide or prioritize in terms of an education?
Generally, that's something which we try to discourage, but we know from the internal audit that it does happen. It is always happening that, you know, if there is, for example, the situation where there were three kids and there was a single device, it's usually the boy child who gets the device and it's the girl child who suffers. We try to educate as much as we can. We try to also, you know, using a camera, also figure out whether the girl is using it or not. But it's very difficult. And you're right that it usually hits the girl child the most. It has also got a socioeconomic angle to it. We are all seeing it. So it's always the marginalized segments of society which are suffering more because of this whole digital divide which we're seeing in India.
And of course, the fallout, as you're saying, will be felt for years to come. This has set us back in terms of all the gains that we had made over the past few decades when it came to education. But I want to ask you, do you think once things return to normal, will we go back to the physical schooling system? Because on one hand, you also hear many of these petty stories that say, oh, look, this is so great. Students can sit at home and access teachers. We can access teachers from all over the world. Does this mean there might be a push to make sure that some of these new systems that we've been forced to adopt become the norm going forward?
You see, one has to understand the psychology of learning for that. Children and even adults learn by emulating, by copying what other adults are doing. So children learn by what you do, not what you say. So a classroom environment provides that social learning skills, which are very, very important. Those social skills we are completely ignoring. Yes. Number one. Number two, we have to send kids to classroom. I'm not talking about the 10% kids. I'm talking about the 90% kids who also depend on a classroom for their food, for the nutritious food they used to get at midday meal. And the third thing I'll tell you is that, you know, some of the curriculum can obviously be digitized. We also run a school where we have the caricature of Dr. Kalam, a cartoon of Dr. Kalam, which teaches modern things. But the broad things, life skills, the communication skills, the ability to form team, leadership, all these things require human interaction. Now, after all, we all wrote an essay in our classes in school that man is a social animal. So it is. And that's how it is. Mm. So we need to expose children with other children. Peer learning is there. There is a learning from the teacher, and there is also the whole issue of social learning and the issue of midday meal schemes. So I don't think this is going to replace the traditional way of education.
All right, but thank you. Thank you all. We on our part try and put the focus, put the spotlight on these issues because we think stories like Aishwarya's must be told. They must not be silenced and they must not happen again. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a very difficult year for everyone, but one of the most hard-hitting fallouts of the pandemic has been the dismantling of affordable education, and the repercussions of this will be felt for decades, something our policymakers must be aware about. Thank you all. That's it on We the People. Good night.